You this morning with expectant hearts, with hearts that are grateful for the country that we live in. God, I know sometimes we may not agree with everything going on or certain choices, but we are grateful for our freedom. God, we pray for your people. We pray for Israel. We pray for every person that's in a dangerous situation. We pray that you, Lord God, will protect them. We loose angels all around them, and we ask that you bring about a great deliverance. God, we ask that you bring about a deliverance so that you receive the glory and praise and honor that you so rightly deserve. God, we thank you this morning that you will open our hearts and that we can receive a word that will sustain us, that it will fill us. And more than anything, God, it will make a change in us that people around us see, and that you will receive the glory. We pray these things by faith in you, being so careful to give you all glory and all honor because you and you alone deserve it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. We have King David, who was the first king that God had ever appointed. This whole king thing was never the idea of the Lord. I believe he wanted to establish judges. He wanted to set people in certain positions of authority and power. But the people called out to God and they said, listen, give us a king like all the other nations. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning to let you know and to let myself know that you and I are not like other people. You and I are not like the people of the world. The Bible is extremely specific and it says that you and I are a peculiar people, meaning we're strange. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Some of us, like Brother Kevin, may be a little bit more peculiar than others. But this morning, I have good news that you and I are not supposed to be like everybody else. We're not supposed to experience things like everybody else. And something I want to hit on this morning is when bad things come our way, we're not supposed to handle them like everybody else. God has given you and I an opportunity and an ability by the Spirit of the living God is to look at things from a different angle, to look at things from a different perspective. I've been talking to my kids this week about some of the things that I've seen go on in Israel, some of the attacks in Joshua's 10 and Isabel's 7, and they have a lot of questions. And I have a lot of questions, and I'm not going to pretend this morning to understand it all, but I can confidently say that God is still God. God is still in the one in control. God is still going to get the glory, and God is able at any moment to stop it all. And in his goodness and in his grace and his knowledge and in his omnipotence, he allows certain things to happen that maybe you and I don't understand, but we do understand he is the good shepherd. We do understand he's a good, good father. We do understand that he loved you enough to send his only son to die on the cross and to suffer a humiliating crucifixion and on the third day raise him to life again. He did that for you. If you have to believe this, this is the gospel. If you were the only person on this planet, he would have done it. And I know sometimes that's hard to look at and that's hard to believe, but that is simply the truth. He loved you enough. He loved me enough to do this. And he not only was willing to do it, that was his plan. So brothers and sisters, what happens when things don't go our way? What happens when we want to do something for the Lord and we have a good idea or we've put certain things in order and God says no? What happens when you want to bless that person or help that person do this or a family member do that and you're almost ready to do it and God says not yet? One of the hardest things in my life is when God tells me not yet. I can deal with when God tells me no about something way more than I can deal with when God tells me not yet. Because not yet means I have to wait. Not yet means I have to listen. Not yet means I have to be patient. Not yet means I have to be willing to hear the voice of the Lord. And this morning, brothers and sisters, we have King David, and David is the first king, like I said, that God has appointed. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart, and he's getting victory after victory. Saul's trying to kill him. All sorts of things are going on in his life, and God is delivering him out of every single one of them. So after all this, David is sitting in his house in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And just for the sake of time, I'll paraphrase it. But David is sitting there and he's looking and he's enjoying everything that he has. And he gives God glory and praise for bringing these things to his life. And that's why there's absolutely, don't let anybody condemn you for having something that God gave you. If God has blessed you financially or he's about to bless you financially, don't ever allow anybody to condemn or make you feel like you don't deserve it or you shouldn't have it, because all of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and need repentance. All of us need salvation from God alone. So first of all, if God is doing something or has done or has promised you or me something, brothers and sisters, we should enjoy it. We should always make sure we give honor and glory back to God, because you and I can do nothing on our own accord. So David's sitting there and David's like, listen, I want to build the Lord a house. I'm tired of him being in this tent. I want to build him something that's magnificent. So David goes to Nathan the prophet and he says, listen, Nathan the prophet, I want to build the Lord a house. And Nathan, who was the prophet that represented the word of the Lord, said, David, go and do all that's in your heart. Brothers and sisters, that's an encouraging word. That's a powerful word when a man or woman of God tells you or me, listen, go do that thing that you're desiring to do. Go accomplish what God has put in your life. You can do it, and the Lord's behind you and the Lord's going to bless it. So go and take care of business, so to speak. But the Bible says that very same night, God comes to Nathan and says, listen, Nathan, go tell David that he is not going to be the one that builds the house. And that's where we catch up here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. And David's response back to the Lord, after he told him, listen, sorry, you're not going to be the one to do it. It's not going to be you. It's going to be your son. It's going to be your seed. You see, that had to be disappointing to David, because David, above anything, appreciated what the Lord was doing for him. When one of his wives, when Micah looked at him and as he was dancing before the Lord earlier on, she said, listen, King, you're making a mockery of yourself. You're being distasteful. You should be embarrassed at what you're doing. And David looks at her back and says, listen, you think this is something. I'm about to dance harder. I'm about to praise God even more, because God is the one that chose me before your father. You see, this morning, David understood that it was because God chose him that he was in that position. You and I, brothers and sisters, if we're in this call or we hear this message, the reason that we're doing this right now is because God chose you to be in this position. God trusted you and me for a time such as this. Can you imagine at all the times you or me could be alive, we're alive now, with all hell breaking loose around us in America, with Israel being attacked, with just everything going crazy in the Middle East? You and I were chosen to be alive now. I believe that was on purpose, and I believe it was because God trusted you and me to pray. God trusted you and me, maybe not to understand everything, but at all costs to say, listen, the Lord's will is what we desire above everything else. It doesn't mean that sometimes we're not disappointed. Sure, I know when Brother Kevin doesn't get a job done on time, or somebody else doesn't get the bid or whatever it may be, that's disappointing. It's disappointing when I don't get to get a new customer because of this or that. It's disappointed when we've poured our time, our talents into somebody and they just stop coming to church. It's disappointing when we try to live a life before our family and sometimes we mess up and we feel like we've let the whole world down. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to feel your emotions, but never stop there. That's what I love about David. David never stopped at his emotions. He would experience his emotions and he would immediately go back to God and say, God created me a clean heart. God renew in me a right spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. David was very, very careful to always go back to God and give him the credit where credit was due. So David has been told, listen, in 24 hours, you can build the temple. You can do what's in your heart. You can acknowledge God for who God is in your life. And in 24 hours, he's then told no. There's absolutely no way David was not disappointed. There's absolutely no way David didn't have questions. There's absolutely no way David could have possibly... Maybe you missed the Lord this time, Nathan. Nathan, maybe you didn't hear what you thought you heard because I'm trying to do a good work for God. Surely God wants me to do this. But I love right here that David knew better to lean on his own understanding. And this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to know that God is in control of Hamas. I want to encourage you to know that God is in control of the economy of the United States of America. I want to encourage you to know that God is in control of your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter. He's in control of it all, and I want to encourage you to know that he's also in control of your finances. But we have to be careful and we have to be persistent to make sure that we do what God's asked of us. It's not like we're trying to earn his love. It is like we're trying to show him how we appreciate his love. Does that mean we mess up? Absolutely. But it also means we pay our tithes and offerings. It also means that we try God in the area of our finances and see if he won't open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we can't possibly imagine. I'm very grateful to God for everything that he's done for us, financially, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. It wasn't too long ago, less than a quarter mile from here, me and my wife were walking a hill and discussing how are we going to pay the bills. It wasn't that long ago for me that I was in the line at Wendy's with a friend and embarrassed that I didn't have enough money to buy a number six or a number five. But God in his goodness, God in his faithfulness has saw fit that if we will try with our hearts to honor him, that he'll always, always perform his word. He honors his word. He esteems his word above himself, meaning, listen, if I said it, that settles it. So here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, this is the Lord talking back and explaining to David, listen, I might have told you no now, but I have a bigger blessing for you. It says in verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, pretty much saying, hey, David, when you die, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. Verse 15, But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Last verse, 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne will be established forever. Brothers and sisters, King David was told yes, then he was told no. It had to be frustrating. Don't just read the story. Think about it. Think about you wanting to sow a seed into somebody or bless somebody financially or help them build something or help them take care of something or take care of their kids, whatever it may be. Think about that. And then all of a sudden God's saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that good thing because that's not part of my plan. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay that frustration can arise in our life, but what do we do with that disappointment? What do we do with that frustration? What do we do when we're let down or we've tried talking to somebody about Jesus so many times, and it keeps being met with a roadblock? You see, when I got out of prison, I made sure that I went back down to Rome, Georgia, to tell some people that had visited me in prison, thank you for everything that you did. Thank you for sowing into me. Thank you for looking at me different. Thank you for believing in me. And I took my mom with me, and they would talk to my mom, and they would be like, listen, I know you've been praying for your son, but sometimes our sons or our daughters, family members, are somebody else's, are somebody else in their lives, I guess I should say it like this. Sometimes people in our lives that we're close to have to be ministered to people that's not close to them. Sometimes if my mom would minister to me or pray for me or whatever it may be or give me a word, or I was quick to reject it because I thought that she was just scolding me or she knew too much. But when God would bring in a fresh face or somebody that didn't know something about me, it would absolutely floor me that they knew, some secret I had or something about me that they should not have known. You see, sometimes the closest people around us are not our ministry. They're other people's ministry. So don't get frustrated. Just get appreciative of God and get in a position like King David where you can be disappointed, but you can still hear the word of the Lord. I read this 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I never see David talk back to God and say, listen, my disappointment's overtaken me. I never see King David talk back to God and say, listen, I lost a little faith because you told me no. I do, however, see King David say, listen, your way is the best way. Your way is better than my way. And how many parents this morning can testify to the fact that if you want to bless me, if you want to do something good for me or my wife, go do something for our son or our daughter. Go bless our kids. And I promise you that it moves me to a point that it's almost hard to express in words. When my sister wants to do something nice for me and Alex, you know what she does? She blesses my kids. When I wanted to honor my apostle, I sow into her children. Because our seed is someone that we love unconditionally. It means everything in the world to us when you bless our kids. And that can be stepkids or kids, whatever. And David was in a position that, listen, God had told him, when you die, when you rest, I'm going to bless your seed and I'm going to establish his kingdom forever. I believe there's absolutely nothing else God could have told King David that would have fulfilled him like that. And in closing this morning, I want to encourage you because of that promise, because of the promise that God told Jesus that, listen, when you go to that cross and you die for these people, and on the third day I resurrect you from the grave, if they will confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in their heart that I raised them on the third day, then I will allow them to be with you and me forever. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and me don't deserve this. And I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. I don't care how holy you or me think we are. We still fall short of the glory of God. God is the one that chose you. You did not choose God. The Bible says that no man can come to the Father unless the Father first calls him. Do you have any idea the possibilities that God can put in your life? God chose you. He has called you by name. The Bible says that He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You and I are on purpose. Never let the enemy discuss or try to trick you into thinking you're not good enough or you're on accident or you don't preach or speak or pray as good as mama and them or daddy and them or your preacher or apostle or prophet. You are powerful. You are a kingdom kid. You are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And once He calls you saved, He never again calls you a sinner. Once He calls you saved, you have a place in the heavenly realm. You and I are on purpose this morning, and I don't want you to be disappointed at what happened in Israel. I don't want you to be disappointed you hadn't got that promotion or that other opportunity. Whatever it may be, I want you to take it back to God and say, God, it's okay if the answer's not yet. It's okay if the answer's no, because your way's better than my way. My kids sometimes get frustrated when we're going to go somewhere or stay out of town for the week or whatever it may be. Go on vacation, I guess. They get frustrated because they don't understand the plans it takes to do this. And Alex cleans the house before we leave. And they think certain things are not important that are extremely important. And what I try to encourage them with is like, Joshua, Isabel, chill out. Just trust the fact that everything's taken care of. You don't have to get in the car 2 hours before we leave. Mom and daddy will let you know when it's time to go. You don't have to bring any money or you don't have to worry about food or shelter or anything. Just go enjoy the experience. And if I have a word of encouragement this morning, it is enjoy the relationship that you and I have with the Maker of heaven and earth. You are important. I can't say you are important in the kingdom of God. God's plans are to bless you. I don't care about the economy going on. I don't care how much gas get, blah, blah, blah. God does not say, try me in this, but if gas gets over $5 a gallon, I won't take care of you. He says, be faithful to pay your tithes and your offerings, and I will take care of the rest. I promise you 90% with God is way better than 100% of the world. I've had tires last for years and years and years that should have, you know, went out in 4 or 5 years and they lasted 8, 9, 10 years. I could tell you for just days and days how God has made things last by not breaking or whatever it may be, because He is faithful. King David was told, no, you can't build it, but I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to bless your son and I'm going to establish His kingdom forever. And King David accepted the word of the Lord. I pray that you and me accept the word of the Lord today. I pray that in our questions and our doubts and our fears, that we can remain faithful and always go back to the one that knows it all. There's no point in lying or trying to hide something from Him, because He knows all. And He is good. He is good, and He's full of mercy and love and grace. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You sometimes, God, not at the time that You tell me no or not yet. But I thank You this morning that we have an opportunity to just rest and relax in You. That we can be like little children and know that we don't have everything figured out, but we can enjoy the experience because You are faithful to protect us. You are faithful to provide. You are faithful to love and to heal and to take care of Your chosen people. I thank You this morning, God, that You established David's kingdom. And God, I thank You that You established Solomon's kingdom. And all their mistakes, You were right there. And in all our mistakes this morning, God, You're always right there. I thank You for these things. And I thank You, Lord, this morning that we call out to You again and we give You glory and praise because You are always there, never letting go of our hand. You're the best dad. You're a good, good father. And Lord, we yield to You and we pray that You will encourage us and strengthen us. God, I pray for the businesses represented. representative, I pray, God, that you will blow our minds by your goodness. Blow our minds, God. Cause us to sow into people. Cause us to help people. And as we approach this holiday season, this Christmas season, I pray that you will show us and tell us the people that you want us to bless. We yield to you and we love you and thank you forever. We pray these things by faith in your Son, Jesus. Amen.